Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 28 September 2025, Romans.
All right. It was a great day yesterday. The Rebels had a bye. So they won. The Montana Grizzlies are undefeated and ranked number 4 in their division. Go, Grizz, go. The Cougars beat Colorado State. Hoo-ah. The Huskies lost. Yay! It was a great day yesterday, except for the Ryder Cup. That's about the worst Ryder Cup I've ever seen. I don't know why I've been recording it. I haven't seen it. I just deleted it anyway. So. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 8:28, phenomenal verse and promise, and yet not understood by many believers. Come on in, Marty. Romans 8:28 says, in fact, we are spiritually mature believers. We know that to the ones who love God, there's the key, to the ones who love God, personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. In other words, the ones who love God are spiritually mature believers only. To these believers, all things work together for the purpose of good. That's a fantastic promise. But the key here is we know that to the ones who love God, and to love God, you have to know God. So the Apostle Paul is putting the spotlight on the very essence of God, who and what God is. And we know that God is one in essence and three in personality. There are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three persons of the Godhead have the exact same essence. the exact same attributes. They are sovereignty and righteousness, justice and love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipresence, omnipotence, immutability, and veracity. So to love God, you have to know God. It's one thing to say those 10, and I know many of you, you can go right through those and repeat them to me very fast. But how many of you really know what every attribute of the essence of God means? You don't really know God till you understand and know what every one of those attributes mean. To love God, you have to know God. So we're taking the time to go through the very attributes of God, the essence of God, and studying them in great detail from the Word of God. We have already studied the sovereignty of God and the righteousness of God and the justice of God, the love of God, and the eternal life of God. And this morning we're going to start out with the omnipresence of God. The omnipresence of God. I want you to turn, everybody, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm, the human author is David. David was a spiritually mature believer. He loved the Lord. And he totally understood the essence of God. He loved God because he knew God. And in Psalm 139... he presents the fact that he totally understands the omniscience of God, the omnipresence of God, and the omnipotence of God. He goes into that in great detail in Psalm 139. So the first point of the omnipresence of God is this. One, omnipresence simply means that God is everywhere present. You know, He's everywhere. He's everywhere. See? Omnipresence simply means that God is everywhere present. Psalm 139, let's start at verse 7. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. The darkness is as light to you. So in Psalm 139, 7 to 12, David presents the omnipresence of God. Point two. The whole of God is in every place. Every place. He is eternally present everywhere. He is eternally present everywhere. Three, the omnipresence of God means that God fills space and time with His presence. God fills space and time with His presence. He sustains it, and He gives it purpose and value. He fills space and time with His presence. He sustains it, and He gives it purpose and value. Therefore, God is conscious of every movement and every action of every person in history. 4. Omnipresence relates to the fact that Jesus Christ controls history. Jesus Christ controls history. He is omnipresent in the United States of America. He is omnipresent knowing all about our apostasy and degeneracy. He, Jesus Christ, controls history. He is omnipresent knowing the satanic attacks on Israel and Ukraine. Jesus Christ controls history. He is omnipresent. So, point four, omnipresence relates to the fact that Jesus Christ controls history, and therefore in time, God's purpose and plans are fulfilled. 5, God is personally present everywhere. God is personally present everywhere. The whole God is in every place. Six, God, in the total of his essence, is without diffusion, expansion, multiplication, or division. God, in the total of his essence, is without diffusion, expansion, multiplication, division. Seven, God penetrates and fills the entire universe. In fact, God is infinite and goes beyond the universe. Jesus Christ created the universe. God penetrates and fills the entire universe. 8, God is ever present. He is not limited by space or time. He invented both of them, and he is transcendent and above them. God is ever present. He is not limited by space or time. Turn over to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verses 23 and 24. Jeremiah 23, verse 23. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him? Declares the Lord. Do not I fill heaven and earth? Declares the Lord. And turn over to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verse 24. We'll start at verse 24. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Neither is he served by human hands as though he needed anything. Since he himself gives to all life and breath and all things. And he made from one, and the one is Noah, every nation, nationalism of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times, dispensations, dispensational truth, and the boundaries of their habitations, nationalism, and that they should seek God, if perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us. He is the omnipresent God. Acts 17:24-27. 9. Omnipresence is the word that expresses the fact that heaven is God's throne and earth is God's footstool. Omnipresence is the word that expresses the fact that heaven is God's throne and the earth is God's footstool. Turn over to Isaiah 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah 66, verse 1. This is what the Lord says. Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? And then turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 39. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below, and there is no other. So omnipresence is the Lord, is the word which expresses the fact that heaven is God's throne and the earth is God's footstool. Point 10. Omnipresence is expressed in the fact that heaven cannot contain God, that He is actually far, far greater, infinitely greater than heaven. Omnipresence is expressed in the fact that heaven cannot contain God, that He is actually far, far greater than heaven. Turn over to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Verse 27. First Kings 8:27. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple that I have built? He is the omnipresence of God. He is infinitely greater than heaven, infinitely greater than the universe. That's the omnipresent God. 11. Omnipresence includes the concept of locality. While He is the omnipresent God, He can be local. Omnipresence includes the concept of locality. That is, God is free to be local as He was with Moses on Mount Sinai, or as the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies in the temple. So omnipresence includes the concept that God is free to be local. And this is also true in the church. We're living in the church age, began at Pentecost, ends with the rapture. In this unique dispensation, This is the only time in human history that when anyone believes in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body. The universal indwelling of the Spirit. And He indwells your body to make your body a temple so that the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, can dwell inside of you, and God the Father can indwell inside of you. So here we have the locality in the church age. Every one of you, if you're here as a believer, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit indwells your body. Locality. What a fantastic blessing that is. So omnipresence includes the concept of locality. God is free to be local as He was with Moses on Mount Sinai and as the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies and in each one of us in the church age. The Holy Spirit indwells us, making a temple for the indwelling of the Father and the Son. 12. Omnipresence also means God is the cause of space and indwells every bit of space. Omnipresence also means that God is the cause of space and indwells every bit of space. 13. God is present at all times, in all places, creating and sustaining both time and space. God is present at all times, in all places, creating and sustaining both time and space. So not only is God the Son the creator of time and space, but He also maintains them. While the humanity of Christ was that baby in a cradle, the deity of Christ was maintaining time and space. And therefore, divine omnipresence is both in space and in time, and totally outside of, above, and superior to space and time, since Jesus Christ created both space and time. If space and time are defined in terms of boundaries, God would exceed them to the point of infinity. Point 14. God created space. And therefore, space is subject to God. God created space, and therefore, space is subject to God. Fifteen, the omnipresence of God means this. God is with you every single second of every single day. God is with you every single second of every single day. What a blessing that is when you realize that. No matter what's going on in your life, some of you are going through a lot of different health issues, problems. God is with you every single second of every single day. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're living inside of you. They're with you every second of every day, through all your adversities, through all your suffering, through all your prosperity, through every situation and circumstance that you're going through. God is with you personally, omnipresent, every single second of every day. And you combine that with the next attribute, the omniscience of God. He knows everything about you and what you're going through. He knows all of your problems, all your situations, all your circumstances, all your adversity, all your suffering, all your prosperity. He knows it from His omniscience and His omnipresence. He's there to go with you through it. And there are believers that there's a living phase of our life in time, and then there's the dying phase of our life in time. And you ought to have the confidence to know, as a winner believer, you know that if you're in the dying phase of your life, there's a living phase and a dying phase. We're not going to live in this body here forever. Now, we get a resurrection body. That's eternal. But this is a physical body. This is a tent. You take tents, wear out and tear down, but your resurrection body will last forever. So there's a time we have a living phase of our life, and then there's a time for a dying phase of our life. But you ought to have the confidence to know that God the Father and God the Son, Jesus Christ, are holding on to your hand. They're holding on to your hand. And they go right with you through the dying phase of your life. And therefore, you ought to have that peace which transcends all human understanding. You ought to share the happiness of God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Occupation with Christ and sharing the happiness of God. That the omnipresence of God is with you in the living phase of your life, but it's also what a fantastic blessing in the dying phase of your life. And we will all go through that, apart from the rapture. And frankly, the way things are going, I mean, we don't know when the rapture is going to occur. I'm not telling you it's going to happen tomorrow or tonight, or hopefully it's before Trump gets out of office. But anyway, he is in charge every single second. That's the omnipresence of God. Now let's go to the omniscience of God. These two go together fantastically, the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God is directly related to our study in Romans 8:28 to verse 30. And in Romans 8:29 and 30, there are five steps to glory, and these five steps to glory are looking at the believer in Jesus Christ. All five steps are referring specifically to the believer in Jesus Christ. Step one is the foreknowledge. This is foreknowledge of the believer, verse 29. The same ones that God foreknows. Step two, he is predestined, verse 29. Step three, the same ones he has elected to privilege, verse 30. These same ones, believers, he has justified, verse 30. These same ones, believers, he has glorified, glorification. So all the way from foreknowledge through glorification. So, the omniscience of God. One, there are three categories of the knowledge of God. Three categories of the knowledge of God. God has self-knowledge relating to the Trinity, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is the omniscience of God, which relates to creatures, angelic, human, animal. He knows when a bird falls. So he, all creation. And foreknowledge, and that relates to believers only. In Romans 8:29-30, we have the five steps to glory of the one who places his faith in Jesus Christ. So we have God's self-knowledge, his omniscience, his foreknowledge. All right, let's start out with this point to the self-knowledge of God, and let's define it. Self-knowledge. One, God has perfect, eternal, and infinite knowledge of himself. God has perfect, eternal, and infinite knowledge of himself. Two, God perfectly and infinitely knows himself His essence, His plan, His policy. God perfectly and infinitely knows Himself, His essence, His plan, His policy. Three, He knows everything which relates to Himself or emanates from Himself. He knows everything which relates to Himself or emanates from Himself. Four, since God is eternal, there never was a time when He did not know these things. Since God is eternal, there never was a time when He did not know these things. Five, self-knowledge is not only related to God the Father, but also to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Self-knowledge is not only related to God the Father, but also to God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Six, each member of the Godhead has a perfect subjective knowledge about Himself and a perfect objective knowledge about the other members of the Trinity. Each member of the Godhead has a perfect subjective knowledge about Himself and a perfect objective knowledge about the other members of the Trinity. Seven, God's self-knowledge preceded the divine decrees in our logical understanding. But actually, God's self-knowledge and the divine decrees are simultaneous as far as God is concerned. So God's self-knowledge preceded the divine decrees in our logical understanding, but actually, God's self-knowledge and the divine decrees are simultaneous as far as God is concerned. Point three, that brings us to the omniscience of God. The omniscience of God. One, while God's self-knowledge relates to the Trinity, His omniscience relates to all creation, all creatures, angelic, human, animals, you name it. While God's self-knowledge relates to the Trinity, His omniscience relates to all creatures, angelic, human, animals. I mean, you know, all dogs go to heaven. And Dave was gone, and we had the privilege of having, he has a new little dog. Well, Natalie has this dog. Natalie names the dog Princess. Hunter names the dog Slammer. Debbie names the dog Peanut. And this one of those dogs, if I had it up here, it'd only be this high, you know. And somebody slammed the door on his face because his nose is pushed way in here. Well, the dog had a sleepover at our house. And we love dogs. We love dogs. And whether you want to call her Slammer, Princess, Peanut. And when it came, I mean, she just having a great time. Time to go to bed. So Dave has a jail for the dog. I never had a jail for a dog. I think that is the worst thing ever. I would never put a dog in jail. Now, a cat, I can put a cat in jail. But I can't see putting a dog in jail. So Debbie puts the dog in jail, brings the jail into our bedroom. And I come in and dog looks at me. Oh, oh. I said, let that dog out of jail. I've never put a dog in jail. So when she came up, Debbie put one of her blankets down between us. She got on that and we covered her up. She slept there between Deb and me all night long. She kept me awake because she snored all night long. You're the dog that snores. So, while God's self-knowledge relates to the Trinity, His omniscience relates to all creatures, angelic, human, animals. The word omniscience derived from two Latin words, omnis, all, and sciens, knowing, and therefore omniscience means all-knowing. Two, God knows all things. He is all knowledge. God knows all things. He is all knowledge. 1 John 3, verse 20. For God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. 1 John 3:20. God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. And then again, let's go to Psalm 139, that great Psalm of David. Psalm 139, the omniscience of God is presented in verses 1 through 6. O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Psalm 139, 1 through 6. David, as a winner believer, spiritually mature believer, loved the Lord because David knew the Lord. You gotta have to know God to love God. 3. From omniscience, God knows all things that are certain, and place them in the divine decree. And we like to illustrate that as a computer. Places them in the computer of the divine decree. From omniscience, God knows all things that are certain and place them in the computer of the divine decree. Turn over to Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. Verse 9. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose, the divine decree, will stand, and I will do all that I please. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. So from the omniscience of God, God knows all things that are certain, and he placed them in the computer of the divine decrees. 4. Every certain thing related to the thinking, the decisions, and the actions of God's creatures were placed in the divine decrees from the omniscience of God. Every certain thing related to the thinking, the decisions, and the actions of God's creatures were placed in the divine decrees from the omniscience of God. Five. However, omniscience not only knows all things actual, those in the divine decrees, but also all things possible, the things that could have happened but did not. They were left out of the divine decrees. So, however, omniscience not only knows all things actual in the divine decrees, but also all things possible, the things that could have happened but did not. They were left out of the divine decree. 6. Therefore, the omniscience of God knows all iffy history. Knows all iffy history. But only what actually occurs is fed by the omniscience of God into the divine decree. Therefore, the omniscience of God knows all iffy history. But only what actually occurs is fed by the omniscience of God into the divine decree. 7. Every minute detail of both of angelic creation, human history, is completely in God's omniscience at all times. Every minute detail of angelic and human history is completely in God's omniscience at all times. Well, we're just getting started here on the omniscience of God, but we're going to take a break, and in a few, we'll have part two. And we're, like I said, we're just getting started on this. There's a lot of great scripture about the omniscience of God that we will look at in part two. All right? See you in a few for part two.